gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Well, once again, didn't think we'd ever
be back. We's back.
We here, and lots to talk about, lots to catch up on. T, how's it going?
It's going great. In most parts of the world. Maybe all of us are feeling some of it, though. But we'll talk about that later. God is still good. Oh, yes, he is. God is a good God. Oh, my bad. You don't have to sing, because I ain't got to sing in a while long.
People, if you do catch me referencing things that went on during my high school team season, I apologize, because I tend to bring some of those stories into every conversation I have lately. So if it happens, it happens. We made it to the second round of the state tournament. Then this is the team that won one game last season. So anything we got after that second victory on the year was a blessing. So
the rest was the cherry on the top.
Yeah, so and now we're in the off season mode, doing the fundamentals, things that we really didn't get to do a whole lot of last year because we kind of was throwing things together at the last minute. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the future holds, or what the future holds there. All I can say is on my end, I enjoyed myself. It was great to get back in it. So, yeah. So there's that. Coach K had his last regular season game in Cameron Indoor. Tickets prices was out of sight. Folks was camping out for weeks.
I mean, the stars were out.
And man, so many people at that game.
The stars were out.
So many of all the former players that came back. And man, it felt
the good. NBA's commissioner. what's the guy name that's
the commissioner?
No, he Asian. I don't know Chinese, Japanese, Korean, what, but he the actor. He was on Along.
Ken Jeong.
I was like, oh, yeah. Who knew you even like basketball?
Oh, that he's a Duke grad. So.
Oh, he a Dukie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know he was a Dukie.
Yeah. So he got roots there, and it felt all the emotion, all the excitement in the building. My girl Debbie Antonelli was doing the special broadcast on ACC Network with Packer and Durham, where they were up in the crow's nest, just commenting on the game. They had a camera going on the game, had a camera going focused solely on Coach K. It was fun to watch.
Did they do a camera? Did somebody follow them this season for a documentary?
I hope they did.
Magic. Michael Jordan, 100 years later, came out with that on.
I hope that they did, because that would be really interesting. But I just tell you, the best part about the whole experience was North Carolina ruined it, baby. Go Tar Heels.
Yep.
Man, that was beautiful. Boy, there was some boo-hooing going on. Oh, the tears was flowing. It was a beautiful sight. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there. One last jam.
Yeah, I need them to stop crying. Like, this ain't it.
Listen, just one last jab, because I know where this is going. This is the tried and true formula of the North Carolina and Duke rivalry. North Carolina does a big time upset at the end of the season, and Duke goes on and wins the ACC tournament. It's the same revolutionary door that happens every time.
So, Duke was ranked number 4. That was an upset.
It was, because North Carolina wasn't even ranked.
his kids got out there trying to do too much. I ain't even see the game, but I can imagine. I ain't know one of his kids play for him.
I know Buddy Boeheim plays for Coach Boeheim in Syracuse. I don't know if Coach K does.
No, it's a kid. It's at his family. I don't know if it's his son, but he's talking to his family out here on the midcourt, talking to the fans more than his family. But one of them has on like all of the Duke stuff. Like the long
white t-shirts.
We're going to have to investigate.
We should, you think this podcast host would know this information. But
that's for the people to do.
Time.
We got to give them homework. This is how we roll.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what you're coming for when you come to this show.
Right. We back, people.
Shout out to Coach K. What a career. It'll be interesting to see what they do from here. Good luck to John Shire. He got an uphill battle coming
is
in.
Is that who the coach is?
Uh-huh.
You never want to be the coach after the best coach. Uh-uh. You want to be the second coach.
Yeah, you want to be the next.
You're going to find out.
You want to be the coach after the coach.
Yeah. After the coach. You don't want to be this person.
So
ask the Tennessee coach. She's still trying to find her way after Pat Summit. And Pat been on transition how long ago?
Holly, yet doing TV. She ain't even in the coaching world no more. She's doing
see,
the TV.
Lord, they done ran her out of.
Bless her heart.
See, she hold on. She can be a witness.
And this is the perfect example of the coach after the coach, because Kelly Harper, she was Kelly Jolly when she played there, mm-hmm. is taking over after Holly. Man, they did one of those little inside the team documentaries that they always do, and they had the special was on Tennessee mm-hmm. This past time. It was I think it was on the ESPN or SEC Network. SEC, it might have been the SEC Network. Anyway, just listening to her in the locker room when she's talking to the players, she mm-hmm. reminds you. It's like that same sternness and same just. The way she worded things, it's almost like you were listening to Pat. If you close your eyes, you could hear Pat.
Is song. That the coach?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, Kelly.
Now, she played under Pat, didn't she?
Yeah. She was Kelly Jolly when she played.
She pulling the ghost of Summit coming out.
I mean, she had the same mannerisms and everything. So.
Well, let me go look at Kelly Jolly because I know the name, but I can't place.
She's Kelly Harper now, but
don't know about it. Kelly Jolly gonna come up. See what I told you. Look, see what I told you. And Lord, I spelled y'all name wrong. Okay, Kelly Harper. I don't remember you. All right, go ahead.
Well, speaking of the SEC,
oh, she played with Shamika. Okay.
Yeah, she played on those good teams. Those really good ones. Speaking of the SEC, we had a huge upset. In the SEC championship game.
Congratulations, Wildcats.
Yes, indeed. We're still waiting on the whole appeal from Ryan Howard. And when I say the whole appeal, I harken back to, and this has been something that people have asked her entire career, but Andy Landers in the post game, after the semifinals, mm-hmm. when they were going into the finals, he asked her, when you were growing up, did your mother give you the whole pill or the half pill whenever you were sick? And Ryan, not really understanding what he was asking, kind of looked at him and said, the whole pill? And he said, well, when are you going to give us as fans the whole pill? When are we going to get the entire package of what Ryan Howard has to offer? And she told him, tomorrow, and basically saying championship game. And She had a rough shooting night, but she still wound up with a good stat wise. But I'll tell you who came up big for them.
Dreyana. 44.
Big Dreyana.
Quattro.
She had 27-9. I mean, just hit big shot after big shot.
Ain't that the kid that hit the last one?
Yes.
No, that okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was like, well, I think that was 44 because I saw the highlight. That's the only thing I saw. Other game. But I kept flipping over and I was like, oh, 11 seconds. And I was like, oh, who got the ball? Because unlike in football, when they it'll show you who has possession of the ball. Uh-huh. It just had the little line with under the the seconds. And I was like, who has the ball, though? Because it was 62-61 at that time. And then I refreshed or I did something. And I was like, down goes Frazier.
Down goes Frazier. Yes. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, coming into the SEC tournament, Kentucky was basically a bubble team for the NCAA. And now they have played themselves after their run all the way to maybe even a 7 seed.
So, a what?
A 7 seed is what Charlie Krim has them at now.
But how about this? That was a 7 seed and this. Maybe that'll work out again. I didn't realize they beat the 1, 2, and 3.
They did.
Which is the first time in SEC tournament history.
And it's the
I was
first
like,
time,
that's the gauntlet.
First time since 1982 that Kentucky has won the championship. And I thought that was the first year of the SEC tournament. It actually started in 1980. And you would think I would know this because in 1980, Gillum and them played Peggy.
Oh, that's that Gillum season.
They lost to Tennessee in the finals of the tournament.
Okay.
So, but they beat them in the regular season that year. So you think I would have known that, but yeah, it slipped my mind. But yeah, first time since 1982, Kentucky won the championship.
Carolina, I'll tell you who, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, South Carolina still apparently is going to be the number one overall seed. This doesn't affect them at all in that way.
And I'm about to say they should. I know people don't like to hear this. This is the best thing to happen to them. This Uh-oh. Is what, huh?
Oh, there you are. Okay. We lost you for a second. We back.
This is the best thing to happen to them. Because what happened is you want your team to be, now they're going to be on their P's and Q's and not out here thinking they can't be beat.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had ran through this and they only had lost one game or something or two.
Anyway, lost one to Missouri. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, they would have been like, oh, we been a run. This is good. They needed that loss.
And they needed the last two games that they had because in the fourth quarter of the previous game when they played Ole Miss was down double figures and wound up coming back, got within 6 at one point, causing turnover after turnover after turnover, you know, on a press. So South Carolina needed these last two games to show that they're not invincible.
So I ain't no telling who win it all, but for them, I would say this was good that y'all lost because y'all won the conference, like the overall thing. So you'll still get a ring. I guess they're giving out rings for those still.
You know, they give
them to them. Who decided, hey, you won it all. Now we want to have a tournament to try to win it all again. Who came up with that?
Money makers.
Oh, yeah, we the best. Oh, but what you say? What? We got to. Oh, y'all going to make a tournament so we can play? Oh, okay.
Money.
Because all them games we played this season just wasn't enough.
Yes. Over in the ACC, Miami made them a huge run. I went from basically being out of the tournament to, you know.
They got a chance to make it now.
They got a good shot. Showing. I mean, they went all the way to the championship of the ACC tournament. And just, I mean, they just ran out of gas and ran into an NC State team that was on a mission for their back-to-back-to-back. And I think they call it a three, instead of a back-to-back-to-back, they call it a pack-to-pack-to-pack, you know, wolf pack. I thought that was pretty clever.
It's not. That ain't, y'all need to lose that.
Hey,
get rid of that right now.
Shut it down.
It ain't cute. Next. Yes. Go ahead.
But yeah, NC State won that championship. Then the Big Ten, it was just game after game after game yesterday. Big Ten tournament final.
Brian, it's March. What you saying?
Had Iowa and Indiana. I mean, I was just, you know, and then Stanford came up and won theirs against Utah in the Pac-12.
Did you say Iowa won?
Iowa did, yes.
Okay, because I was like, that young lady was out there balling, but if they lost.
Yes.
What's the young lady's name? The little guard?
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
She is a sophomore child.
That's right. She was a freshman last year when mm-hmm. her and the kid from UConn went at it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this year.
Did she get some help?
They got a post player. Now, she was there last year, but she played big for them. She played a lot bigger role for them this year. And yesterday, had a really good game against Indiana. Monica Sinano.
So she kind of got some, but not really.
We're getting there. We're getting there piece by piece.
No, nobody want to go to Iowa. And by the time they get somebody, else she going to be gone.
So we still have some conference tournaments to decide this week. We got the Sun Belt, which will finish up. Sun Belt and the Big East, which will finish up today. You know, my girls from Troy. You know how I got the Courtney Simmons and them, that coach at Troy that I'm friends with. Mm-hmm. They'll finish up today, and UConn will finish up the Big East.
You know what? Villanova. I never saw Troy's basketball court, but they little football, you know, they little setup is cute.
They do a good job. They're cute, but their Coliseum is very nice. It's fairly new.
Yeah, it's a nice little spot. Brian, let me tell you, I'm going off tangent again.
Go ahead.
You rolling through there? It's like ghost town. It's so little. Probably ain't nothing. Ain't no reason to go there except if you playing at Troy, or you was born there. Uh-huh. Them raised two reasons. Maybe you worked there. Brian, we drove by, and it was a 24-hour workout gym. It looked like it was made out of a big poster board. I was that was the sign. I was like, yep. It's Alabama. It's a little town in Alabama that I can't even be mad at it. I can't be mad at it.
Yeah.
That sign, Brian, looked like your niece and nephew made it. But go ahead. My. I'm sorry. I got distracted. But they did have a nice stadium. Again, I didn't see the basketball court or nothing, but that football plays and they had a little indoor track when they was doing I had went down there for some, they had to work out for some of the guys that were trying to go pro. They pro day. And I had gone down with a friend of mine, buddy of mine.
Well, I just think this year's, it's been coming the last couple of years, been a lot more competitive. I think this year is going to be a really interesting, I don't know who's going to win. Usually with the women, you can decide before the bracket even comes out who's going to win the championship. This year it's hard to pick. There's four or five.
It should be fun.
I'm excited.
I'm so tired of the news. And I ain't even been watching basketball in general, but women's basketball either. But come on. This morning, I'm riding my bike, and I don't know what station it was. They have Kentucky knocks off number one on the ticker thing. But then they show some highlight of some scrub men's school hit a long last second shot. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, that half court.
I was like, that's the best you could do. Now, if Kentucky don't beat the number one team, they had a last second shot to win it. But that's what you wanted to show. All right, okay, I'm over it. Disrespectful.
Okay, well, let me get you fired back up. Let's roll to the NBA.
Oh, Lord, no. Don't do it, Brian. It's so sad. It's so sad what is happening.
More specifically, let's Brian, talk about
your Lakers. We don't have to do this. Brian, let me tell you something. Go ahead and ask your
question. I'm just wondering. Brian, what happened? What's going
everything
on?
Everything that everybody kept saying that these people was too old. But this is my problem. These are my problems. Because this ain't a one. Okay. Who do we normally say the team takes their identity from? Is one of two people.
The coach or the best player.
Okay. Well, I think this team takes the identity of the coach. I don't know Vogel from Adam, but he seems to be laid back. Oh, it's going to be all right. And this is how this team been all year. Oh, when we get healthy. Oh, and bruh. Then early on when he was talking about, oh, you know, at halftime, I don't really have to say much because when I get in, when you know, when the coaches, for people who don't know, usually the players go into the locker room and the coaches stand out and talk about, hey, what we going to talk about, whatever. And then the head coach go in and say whatever. So he was saying that when they go in, the guys are already talking to each other and doing this, that, in the field. And I was like, well, that ain't good because you're supposed to be running the team. That's nice that they think they know, but if they did, they wouldn't need a coach.
Correct. Okay.
So then the whole Westbrook thing wasn't working. Oh, what's the dude? It's a black guy that, shoot, I almost said his name. Now he on NBA when they be with Jalen.
Paul Pierce.
No. You know Paul got fired for smoking doing whatever that mess he was doing.
I forgot.
Yeah. Jalen, Stephen A.
Kendrick.
It's the guy. He got a show, Partner in a Rush. No, him and a white guy got a show together. What is his name? Anyway, he was saying, even Stephen A. was like, I think Stephen A. was saying bring him off the bench. Now, you know, but Stephen A. be saying some sensational stuff sometimes. So you can't tell if he's serious or playing. But I was like, yeah, he should come off the bench. Like, you got two LeBrons on the floor. Except the big LeBron can shoot and the little one can't. But both of them need the ball if they're going to be out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would be, at this point with that team, he would be much better coming off and being like the focal point of the second unit.
Yes. Second unit, go out there and get yours. Do Westbrook stuff. Take the ball, go coast to coast. Just go to the rack and put him out there with a couple of good defenders and somebody that can shoot and a big. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, when you do that, you take the pressure. Because I think a lot of Westbrook's issues right now are he doesn't have the ball. And
he can't shoot.
When he does have the ball, the pressure is of those eyes, those laser focused eyes of LeBron are constantly watching. And I think that's
he can't shoot.
Well, we knew that. He ain't never been able to shoot.
No. He ain't making even layups and stuff now, Brian. Have you seen it? He act like he can't even dribble.
I've seen some of the highlights where he's not even
the low lights
coming close. Yeah. Hey, here's a bright spot for you. Anthony Davis looked like he on the mend.
Mr. Glass.
Yes, Lord. That's another issue. When what irks me to no end is if he was healthy, this would not even be nothing. No other issue they have would be a problem.
So say the people, but that's wrong. When he was healthy, what happened? Giannis ate his lunch and took his lunch money for the rest of the week. He don't play like he want to be the best. He just think you would think he LeBron. Or he played with LeBron like Scottie played with Michael Jordan, and he ain't had nothing to prove at this point in his career. Because he just be out there like, oh, I'm going to play, you know, I ain't got nothing to prove. Giannis dominating. Then you get out there with the Suns guy, he just getting 30 points. And I'm just like, bro, you ain't that good. You can be, but yeah, okay, it's nice. 20 points, 9 rebounds or whatever. But you ain't dominating the game, and your team losing.
Right.
So at some point, you'd be like, I'm going to put the team on my back. LeBron tried to give him the team. People try to act like LeBron literally, that the year we did win, he kept trying to be like, be the man, be the man. He don't want to be the man. I'm going to be the man.
Yeah, and he tried to defer.
And now you see he don't even defer anymore because he see that Anthony don't have what people would call the dog in him. He needs somebody to put some hot sauce in his food or something because he is just... He's just out there like I don't know how he is 75th. We're not going down that tangent. But the coach is part of the problem with the Lakers. The Westbrook should have never happened. I wanted DeMar DeRozan. Number two, I had no idea Westbrook's IQ is so low. Like his basketball IQ. I thought as a basketball player, just a, and you're a professional, I thought that you would be able to adjust, even if you can't shoot. Like, you see guys all the time in pickup, and these not pros, but when they playing with other guys that are better, they don't get out there and pop. They take their spots to get their points or whatever, and they try to win. He just seemed like if it ain't going his way, he gonna just kind of, it's almost like he half-heartedly playing. You don't see him playing as hard. That's one of the other things. Is it me? In the highlights, he don't seem to be playing as hard as he normally does.
I agree. And then there was a time in his career where he was just like all over the place.
Full throttle.
Yes.
He is in second gear at best. He has not touched third or fourth gear. But Plinko got to go. Plinko got to go. He's burnt too many bridges as an agent, possibly. You know the whole thing he did with Carlos Boozer. And if you don't have good credibility and people don't think you trustworthy, you're never going to be able to make trades and stuff. And that's just part of being that job. You got to have good.
Your name got to be good out in the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he got to go. But at the end of the day, Jenny Buss is going to, this team, she going to mess around and it's going to be just like when her brother had it. And the only thing she's going to be able to say, but I won a championship. And you know why I say that?
What's that?
Okay, thank you for asking.
Sorry.
This is not a team that is got a billionaire backing them.
No.
That can be like, oh, we're going to the, I want to win. We'll go over into the tax, whatever, extra tax. This team makes their money. This family makes their money through the team. Mm-hmm. A lot of these teams, that this is fun. This is like a toy for them. Like, I mean, dude, that Cleveland Cavaliers, Quicken Loans guy. Like, they, like, he got money. And like, if this team don't ever win, he'll be fine.
Exactly.
The Clippers, I'm sure there's several other ones that I don't know exactly. The Nets. You know, he sold that team, but that man had so much money. Either way, she's destroying the team, and she's letting, I don't know what the relationship with the Rambis is, but it's not their legacy that's going to be going down the drain, because
I don't understand that. I understand that she's friends with the wife and everything like that.
I think it's an unhealthy friendship with the wife.
What in the world has Kurt Rambis ever proven, other than being a great role player?
Hustle. That's all he can do.
What has he proven as a coach, artist, as an administrator? Well. I don't understand. Why are they having decision-making power? I don't get it.
Who do you think is going, what coach you think want this job? You were disrespectful to this man. I don't think Boga has been the best coach, but to give him a one-year extension?
Well, you know who was in the crowd Saturday night.
I don't.
Your boy, Phil. Your boy, Phil.
Phil can't even travel.
Phil ain't coming back. Don't worry, people.
But even if he was young enough to.
Right.
His bad back and knees and everything else.
Yeah.
But this is the beauty. I'm glad you brought him up. But anyway, I think she's going to run the team in the ground because they're being disrespectful. Jerry West has done too much for that organization for you to treat him like, oh, we're going to take your lifetime tickets away. And then not even have the courtesy to call him and tell him that he had to find out through some regular ticket person. Yeah, that's probably not how that should go. Somebody should have a conversation about, hey, maybe we can give you a 50% off, but we really need the fund. I don't know. But I think they were just being messy. Them two tickets that he had wasn't costing that much that they couldn't just let him have them. So, you know, you reap what you sow. So she putting a lot of bad stuff out there. Cause again, you give this man a 1 year extension. You could have had the Suns coach, but you wanted to pick his coaching staff. Can you imagine, what's his name that coached the Suns? He was in New Orleans.
Monty Williams
with LeBron.
Yeah.
Or Ty Lue. You see what he doing, and he ain't even got his main two players. And they still out here winning. Well, at least they above 500. They ain't like killing it or nothing. I don't know what coach she gonna get that want somebody to pick their assistants. Like, nobody want, like, I don't want you to pick my assistants. I'm grown. I know my friends. I know who I trust. So who do you think they'll get?
I don't know. I don't know who would even want to deal with it.
Right. I don't think anybody wants that job. Especially when you're talking about a three-year contract, which was one of the sticking points for Lou. He wanted the five. They wanted three. And it's just like, I'm telling you, she's headed on a direction of her brother. Go ahead.
Ty Lue knew what he was doing. He wanted to make sure he had that that compensation just in case things went left.
Well, no, you want some time, right? So you're going to take a couple of years to get your system in. And then by then, if it's 3 years, then they saying, oh, well, you can't win. But then by that, you know, second, third year, they started to figure out your system, what you want to run, who you are as a person. People be like, I want to play for him. I don't. You get agents, free agents. You get whatever, you know, you pick a couple in the draft and you get your system. But, yeah, this train going nowhere fast. Circling back to Phil. One of the things I don't think people understand or see the value in that made Phil Jackson, Pat Riley. Who else might have had? Even Doc Rivers to some level was able to do it, at least with that Boston team.
Uh-huh.
Is managing a bunch of egos.
That's what you, yeah. That's basically what you need in the NBA as a coach.
And Vogel is too nice and sweet. Hey, I thought you looked at somebody.
Oh, no.
Vogel is too nice and sweet to apparently be like, I'm the coach. What if they fire you? They ain't give you but 1 year extension. You can see how much they care about you. None. I shouldn't have to go to the to Jenny what's his name that we just talked, the buses. Can I pull him in the fourth quarter? No, this is my team. I shouldn't be going to upper management to ask that kind of question.
Exactly.
So this is about to blow up, and unfortunately, the only saving grace is LeBron, but he been, you know, Father Time is like nipping at his heels.
Well, he, no worry, he finna get it. He doing everything in the world to get his son drafted.
Oh, he will. He already did that by saying I'll play for whoever. Because regardless of if he's LeBron that we see now or LeBron that's just a little less bad, you know, he's still a ticket. He's still gonna fill up the seats.
The man is and sell 30, jerseys. What was it? 38.
He's
37,
I think, but he'll be
38
soon.
He'll be 38 soon. It got 56.
I think he's a December baby, so he may not be 38 soon. But go ahead.
Well, he got 56 the other night, because I was watching the conference tournament, so I wasn't really focused on the NBA. But I went back on the on our DVR and watched the Lakers game against Golden State,
mm-hmm.
And that was an impressive 56 points.
It was, but Brian, you can't keep playing him for 40 minutes a night.
Oh no, oh no, no, you know, he's not at that point anymore where he can do that. No.
And so once again, hey, come on, go get LeBron. Westbrook, that's who I'm talking to. Go get LeBron. Uh-huh. Do your thing. You ain't gotta worry about you standing around, you ain't gotta worry about cutting. Just do your thing. Go out there. Run pick and roll to Delph. If you get it off, just take it coast to coast. Do your thing. And he might not like it at first because people's egos, they want to start because that's a whole thing. Like, you could play the most minutes when you coming off the bench, but people be like, ask you if they, you play basketball, yeah. But they always ask you, Brian.
You start.
I'm like, what do that matter? I play. And yes, I play significant minutes.
Right.
Oh, but the best people start. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm sure we'll be speaking more on the Lakers as the weeks
probably
go
not.
By.
What about how they don't lost the first round? So let me finish this. I know you were finishing it, but I'm gonna finish my little spiel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never thought I would even consider this, but at this point, I gotta find somebody to root for, and it might as well be in my home state. Go Grizzlies!
Oh my.
Now, if they playing the Lakers, obviously I can't do that. But I love Ja Morant. He be out here. Woo!
Yeah, Ja Morant.
He's a show.
Ja Morant has been a special.
He's
special
a
thing.
Show.
Especially when show. You, especially when you couple in the fact that he came into the league with Zion, and Zion has been injured almost since the day he walked in. Actually, he was injured when he first got drafted.
Yeah, he had hurt his knee from the blowout. I'll sue Nike. Because I don't think his knee, if that shoe doesn't burst like that, I don't think he has that knee injury. If the shoe doesn't give away.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's just me. But what I say, yeah, they came in together, but I looked at his little mini mini documentary, because it wasn't a documentary at all.
It was a mini
documentary. And he didn't even know if he was going to get a college scholarship until Murray State came calling. Like he wasn't highly sought out of even in college. And he worked his butt off to get to where he was. And then, you know, all it takes is that one NCAA run. Like Steph Curry, nobody knew him. But when I saw him play, they had played UTC, and I saw him, and I was like, man, he not only can shoot, he can pass. And then the next thing you know, they went on that big run in the NCAA tournament, and the rest is history.
You know what's crazy about him? Him and Zion played on the same AAU team. And they played with Devontae Sugar. They went to Ole Miss, the kid that had the vitiligo.
Oh, okay. I remember.
Yep. So Zion and Ja both say that Devontae Shuler was the best player on that team. So that's crazy how loaded that AAU team was.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's part of, you know, you're talking about Ja's story. That's part of his story, being teammates with them like that.
Yeah, nobody knew them. And then he started dunking on people and at that 17, 11, and 10 in that first game, and they NCAA upset 12-5 seed. And,
I know I didn't have a look. This is how little I knew about him at the time. I didn't even make that pick. That was one of my, that's one of them bracket busters that just make me mad. You just scratch it out, lost that one.
So. It should be the men and the women should be fun. I guess the men got to get through their tournaments, though. They conference.
Yeah, that'll
tournaments.
Be this week. We'll talk more about them next Monday, because we'll have a bracket and everything else to look at, nice and pretty.
Speaking of, how is our NBA team doing? Or did that just fall apart?
No. Well, there was a couple of weeks where I forgot to switch up the lineup, so we. We still won one of those weeks, but I think we're still in first place. We're still holding on. Playoffs should be starting soon. So we're still rolling. I think we're 15-3.
Can we trade Westbrook? It was too late. I was hoping you had got rid of him during the season.
Yeah, I should have, but I didn't foresee that continuing.
Even if we had put him into what's his name and pulled Klay Thompson out of we had him on IR or whatever way we got him.
So glad that he's back, because him and Steph, you know, that's a 1-2 punch that you can't get enough of, especially on the fantasy level. But yeah, let's see. Next topic. I don't know what we can say other than just how horrible the invasion, Russia's invasion of Ukraine is at this point. So I know that
what I say,
There's a more specific version. But go ahead. I'll let you.
I got several things to say.
I'll let you speak on that, and then we can go into the more specific issue that pertains to one of our WNBA players.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes.
So, just imagine, because do you know why this is happening? The backstory of it?
No. Give us
okay.
That. Give us.
The backstory from what I've been trying, because I was like, why is this happening? So I've been looking around, looking at different stuff. This is probably a terrible analogy, but it's the best that I could do. So go back into the 1860s when the Confederate War was happening. So the South was fighting the North, right? Mm-hmm. But imagine that the South, the Confederate is Ukraine, and the South is Russia. Now, this don't work in this analogy because Confederates lost. So,
right.
But I'm just wanting you to be able to geographically see like that this how this works for this. So the North was like, okay, well, they don't like when the Berlin Wall fell and all that happened, the Confederates like, well, we want to be our own party. Like we want to be our own nation. And the North was like, well, we don't want that to happen. But ultimately they decided we're going to be our own nation. So Tennessee, you know, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, all them, North Carolina, South Carolina, probably some of Kentucky, all them was like, we our own little entity. Well, All the time, whoever running the, I'm going to say Biden, he's like, you know what? I want the Confederate states back. I want them back. And I don't care that they, you know, they want to be apart. Because I want the whole United States, that picture of what the map looked like. I want it to be like it used to be. So the North decided, well, we just going to take it back. So pretty much Ukraine was part of Russia's whole, like their whole territory that they owned. And after the Berlin Wall fell and all that happened, the Ukrainians, they're like, well, we want to be our own. We want to be a democracy. We want our own little nation. We got our own language. All this other, we got our own flag. We want to be our own. And all these years later, Putin has come into power and is like, nope, I want the Soviet Union back. I want Ukraine back. And I don't care how we going to get it. We're going to take it. And that's what he's doing right now. He's decided that he want the superpower that Russia used to be, which they still fairly much is, you know, pretty much a superpower. But, and unfortunately for Ukraine, like doing one of this over these, you know, all these years that have passed when, you know, since they became their own nation, they gave up a lot of their nuclear power in one of these, some kind of treaty, which was the worst thing in the world. Because see, if they had their nukes and stuff, Russia would be like, oh, well, we're not finna start bothering them because they could just drop a bomb. Like y'all right there next door neighbors.
Right.
But now that they don't really, they still have like a couple of nuclear plants, but they don't have as much arsenal as they once did. Apparently they stopped, I guess, working on it. So yeah, Putin just decided he wanted Russia, all of Russia back. And again, the best analogy is just like if you, the Confederates had won and was like, no, we want to be apart from the North, part of this North America peace. And then somebody said, we want all of this back. And that's what he's trying to get, all of it back. Come Hades or high water.
It's just a horrible situation altogether.
It is. But all these wars that's going on, I don't know how I think we care more about the bully than the people of Ukraine.
It's looking more that way, yeah.
So it's less about, oh, we want to help them. It's more about we can't let him, this bully, get away with this.
Yeah, sadly, that's looking more like it's getting. I think we're masking that by, you know, constantly repeating, you know, pray for Ukraine and you know, pray for the Ukrainian
people. It's Yemen, Yemen, or however you pronounce it. It's so many countries at war we ain't care nothing about. And they people being doing, people over there starving, babies gnawing off their fingers because they starving. Like I've seen video, it's horrific,
disturbing.
And nobody seems to care. But again, this is more about who the bully is.
That it is.
But taking this a step further, this is my problem with this, and I understand that you blessed to be a blessing, and you want to help those in need. I'm tired of this. Oh, we're going to come up with $10 billion and we're going to censor. Whoa. So you can come up with $10 billion to send across the globe, but you can't pass a child tax credit to feed the kids in your own state, country.
And there goes the cycle of the same old questions. Like, come on.
We can come up with, we're going to send these ships here. We're going to send that there. We're going to send them this. And there's billions of dollars of stuff. This ain't no tax write-off. You know how companies be giving away stuff because they be like, oh, well, I just write off on my tax. Basically, this ain't no tax write-off.
That's it.
But you don't want to give eye and dental and all that into Medicare, Medicaid, whichever one it is, so that our elderly people don't have to play all these supplemental packages when they retire, trying to just get some vision insurance and some hearing aids or whatever. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What? Because that's taxpayer money.
Yeah.
But again, it's more about the bully than the people of Ukraine. That's what I'll say. If it was any other country, if Poland or somebody was trying to take over Ukraine, I don't think they would kill. But since it's Putin and the big bully over there trying to do it. I don't know what he gonna do though if he takes it over. Okay, you gonna be don't kill most of the people there and ran a majority of them out, and the people that can't leave, they not gonna just be like, oh yeah, because a portion of the east part of, because if you could draw a map, a portion of the east part of, again, if you were sticking with my analogy, like say Kentucky, Tennessee, and Mississippi. They still identify with the North as in they still like have a little Russian in them or whatever. But then the other side is more like we Ukrainian, we have our own language. It's a whole history lesson that I got from doing my research. And I was like, wow, I had no idea that was how that state, that country was functioning. Because at one point they wouldn't allow them to speak Ukrainian or, you know, their language, and because they were trying to make them Russian, and at least in actions, but it's been a lot. But most of the west of Ukraine don't really identify with that Russian history from where they all were one piece of, like, they were Russia at one point. All of that was considered the Soviet Union Russia, but
right.
The little places like Estonia. I've been to Estonia. Lord, it's a whole different world when you go some of them places that burn. I was just like, wow. It was almost like being in a real live movie, as you know, how the old buildings and just the way it looked and felt. It even had a different feel in parts of the places. But yeah, again, my analogy was poor because Confederates lost. But if they had won and had seceded from the Union and had decided they were going to be their own little section, they would be Ukraine and the North would be Russia. And then they said, no, we want you back under, and we want the United States. We going to take it back by force.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's sad because it's ugly. I saw a picture of a whole three dead bodies, a family, two kids, were bombed and hit because Russia over there playing dirty. Again, he a bully. He ain't playing by no rules. They keep talking about these sanctions. Yeah, you can cut him off, but if he do these war crimes or whatever they call them, What you gonna do? He already been sanctioned to death.
Exactly.
Because apparently that's a it's rules to war. It's like you're killing people. How do we come up with rules? But there are rules to the game, and he's breaking them by bombing civilian targets, and then trying to say that, oh, that was a military something. Now,
I don't know. I
pray for peace though, because I don't. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I don't want this to eventually,
and I don't want to go to no nuclear situation.
Right, I don't want this to eventually have a people throw that World War III out there too loosely, like it's gonna happen tomorrow. It won't happen tomorrow, but I don't want it to eventually evolve to something like that.
The only way it evolved to World War III, too much will have to happen. Too many countries will have to get involved. And that's why the U.S. and Poland and the Brits and all, and they're only trying to send supplies. They're not sending it because once they start sending soldiers and all that, then this gets way bigger. And then Putin has a reason. Because all he is looking for is a reason to start a world war.
Oh, yeah.
Him and so China that's why ready. All these countries are trying to just help them. Like, here's some money. Here's a plane. Here's some ammunition. Here's some bullets. We don't want to get involved. Yeah. We'll sanction them. American Express, Visa, MasterCard all say they can't use our stuff over there. TikTok only doing whatever, which is, he pretty much probably don't shut down all that. All they seeing is what he want them to see.
Listen, that's the best way to stop this thing, to shut down TikTok. Because young folks in Russia will they will turn on Putin in a minute over some TikTok if they anything like these Americans.
They won't. Because they you know, they run a lot of propaganda. They don't let you listen to only so much. And yeah, he been on turning the internet and stuff off.
I didn't realize how big.
Well, not necessarily the internet, but the social media stuff. Go ahead.
Look, I said I was going to mention my team. And I didn't realize how big TikTok was until I started working with these children.
With kids,
it is. TikTok and everything. It's everything
big with them. TikTok. And unfortunately, the kids don't know because they're kids, but it's bad for a lot of their mental health. I don't know what. It's probably burning some of their brain waves. You already can't hardly do a 30-minute talk now because kids' attention span, even adults starting to get like that because people like stuff in sound bites. They don't want to read a whole paragraph. What was the word? It was somebody used some little, it ain't an anagram. What's an acronym for too long didn't read or something like that? TLY something something. And I was like, what is that? And I was like, what? Too long didn't read. It was just an email and it wasn't that long. Are you serious? So people's attention spans are getting shorter. And yeah, I don't know. People don't want to read no more.
You brought up the mental health piece. Katie Meyer, people look this up. Katie Meyer, Stanford goalie. Mm-hmm. She committed suicide.
When?
Late last week. And
the night
before.
I did not know
they found her dead. She was on TikTok complaining about being injured and knee hurting and things like that. So, I mean, they're out there, you know, the mental health issue is big anywhere you go. But they've now ruled her death a suicide, which I think everybody pretty much knew from the time they found her body. But yeah, that's something I'm not going to get right into it because we're going to have to get right back here to this Russia thing. But people, if you're listening, look up Katie Meyer, Stanford goalie.
What you got to do is keep your kids off social media as much as possible. Don't nobody care what everybody doing. If they jump off a bridge, Brian, if they jump off a bridge, you're going to jump off one. No, that's a classic.
And we're gonna watch the little 2-minute clip on
That's a classic. I know your parents don't say that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a classic from the old days.
I've heard it many times. Many times.
But I mean, at some point, you just, because it's, if it ain't, and we'll go back to Russia and the whole Britney situation in a second. Mm-hmm. But if you, so when we was little, as far as my house, I didn't want to go a lot of places, but my siblings like, oh, you know, they wanted to, and my mom's like, no, you can't go. But then when you grow up, you realize, oh, you see kids getting molested. Oh, they drinking. Oh, this was when they experimented with drugs, when they was over this random person's house. Well, and it don't even have to be the adult that molested them. It was an older brother of one of the kids that was, you know, that they went to spend time with.
Right.
You got this man just recently. She was 14 years old. He don't talk to her on road. It's some new mess, bro. Some new app.
It's always something new.
She was on the app. He gets on. She have bad, you know, her family situation. You know, 14, think the world falling apart with everything. And he talks her into running away. He picks her up, takes her across state lines, rapes her. But he going to say it was consensual. He need to be shot in a way, not literally, but he's saying that she's her daughter. She's like, I want to go home. Thankfully, she said it to whoever was his roommate or friend. The friend confronts him or whatever they have. And I don't have all the pieces, but ultimately the friend takes her and drops her off at a Dollar General. And I can't forget the state. And she's able to contact her parents. And that's how she didn't wind up being trafficked.
Oh, wow.
Or abused, continued to be abused by that man.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had the courage to ask an adult and say, I'm ready to go home. Because I'm sure the man that was her, the predator, I can't even call him a man, the predator that was that had abducted her, or would have sweet talked her and told her whatever so he could keep having sex with a child. And they should just cut his privates off and throw him in jail. But that's not neither here nor there.
That's why, like, I can't even let my little niece and nephews out my sight when I'm around them. I just there's some sick people in this world.
It's sad, and you just have to overprotective. It's okay. At this point, it's better than underprotective, and they wind up
exactly
in some crazy world. And you don't know where they go are, or you be like, what happened? And then they turn 30 and be talking about how this, that, what? And you ain't had no idea. Yeah. Speaking of crazy,
yes, now,
what are we doing? Running around with stuff that could be used. I don't think it was a charge of drug paraphernalia, was it? Or was it?
Brittany Griner was charged with, I'm looking at the article right here. She was, basically what came down to some kind of cannabis oil, with vape cartridges and everything.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to screw that pronunciation up. I just called it cannabis oil. And she had vape cartridges and everything in her luggage. Carries a maximum of 10 years in prison. You know, they always put that, even though it rarely ever comes to that. But because of what's going on with the Russia and Ukraine and, you know, U.S. involvement in that, people are saying that this is kind of like a, because this just came out. She apparently has been
in jail for detained
for over a month. And
now they think that he might use her as a pawn.
Right. And this is how ignorant people are. I've read comments and stuff about, oh, well, that's her fault for being over there. And it's, listen, the reason she and many, many other WNBA players, that I think this article lists more than a dozen WNBA players playing over in Russia. Now, most all of them, except for her, have been able to get out of the country. But, I mean, they're over there because they cannot. I mean, that's where they make their money. I mean, Russia has billionaires and millionaires that are paying these girls big time. I don't even know why I say that. That's the southern in me. Sorry. They're paying these women all this big time money that they're not getting in the WNBA because the salaries are not there yet. But yeah, that's where they're going over there in the offseason to make their money. She's over there right now.
She does have some culpability. She's been over there too long. Did not know you don't be going over there playing with no drugs. Even if this war wasn't going on, Russia is Russia. Exactly. And they don't play about it. Even in America, shoot, you can't carry no drug paraphernalia and stuff on, even in ours, on our shores. So, and I use ours, Lucy. But why you think you can go to a whole nother country and these people real strict like that? And it ain't like you don't know, because she done played in Russia for a minute.
She's been in Russia many years now. So,
yeah,
this is not something that she's unfamiliar with.
So I'm mad that you even took this chance. I hope she get back and write a book or something and help somebody who might make some bad decisions. Because we all don't make bad decisions, but this is silliness. Like, and if you addicted this bad that you can't even make good decisions, then we probably need to go to rehab and get off the stuff. Because we don't see too many athletes lose their careers and stuff, mess around with this cannabis plant that they can't stop using.
I hope that she finds her way home and everything turns out
okay. She's going to be in jail for a while, Brian. I'm just sorry
to tell you. Even if they don't, you know, throw the book at her, I could see this being a situation where they keep her there. It's like just...
Because part of it is somebody might be worried about her, but they more worried about trying to stop this war and hoping that this man come to his senses if he got any, than getting one person out of there.
Right. I mean, it come out late last night that the U.S. Secretary of State, I believe it was, came out with that said that they're going to do everything they can to help Brittany.
This man don't want to negotiate with her. And obviously, this probably ain't going on Putin's radar, but I'm sure it has just because she a WNBA star and all that. But he lied to be like, don't get him no more help. We'll let her go. But last I heard, they said we don't negotiate with terrorists. And that's pretty much where he been right now.
Basically.
Because when you see that stuff, them videos, I don't want to, you can't unsee stuff, but man, he bombed it. And it's just a little family laying in the street. Little baby. You couldn't see their faces, but I was just like, this ain't it. This ain't it. This is not it. Humans. That's why I disassociated, Brian. Humans. Awful. Well, but on a high note.
Yes, the equalizer has returned.
Was it a new one?
Let me not lie to you. Last week, the new season
started. That one was good.
I haven't seen it. This one this week.
We gone a week. Come back 2 weeks.
Yes.
Gone 3 weeks. Did you see the one with Jada?
That's the one. Last week.
Oh, I didn't know if you saw it. That one was good.
That was very
good. That was probably one of the better ones because some of them been like, y'all got to write better than this. But that was probably, they had good chemistry. I don't know why, but they had good chemistry on the screen.
Well, they've been in their banter together. I mean, they do seem to mesh well. And I hope the girls' trip, too, winds up being good. I know they're in the middle of...
Oh, that's right. They were in that together.
Yeah, so... And, Set It Off, they were in.
Well, that's the only thing that I knew. That's the only thing that registered right fast in my head. But, yeah, I forgot about
girls' trip. I do like the slow build between her and her daughter. I think more is going to come of that now that her daughter knows what her mama does. I think she's going to... trying to get more involved in their life. I can see that happening.
For who?
For the daughter. I think that she's going to try and get more involved in the life of what her mother does.
I don't know. I mean, she just being a kid right now. What lead you to believe that?
Just the more inquisitive nature of it. Now that she knows what her mama does, she gets getting more and more inquisitive about it and just being a kid.
I mean, she asking because it's there and she leaving, but it seemed more that they kind of, they trying to keep her own storyline. You know, she was following what that boy said about college and all. So I feel like they kind of keeping her storyline, They kind of don't went to, Viv, Lord have mercy, that ain't her name. Well, aunt, whatever her name is. Anyway, the aunt.
Yes, Lorraine.
You know, Toussaint, yes. She had a, like, we was going somewhere with her, but then it just kind of fell apart. You remember she had the girlfriend from college,
right. The picture. We never heard anything
and
else
then
about
then we never
that.
Revisit anything with that.
To it's get almost like we need to have an LGBTQ moment in this.
And let's just make this.
Let's throw this here. Yeah.
Because we don't know why the woman is living with her. Obviously it's needed because somebody need to take care of the little girl, but the girl got a daddy. So it's just like, it's so much about that character that they could flesh out for us or start to unveil. Because obviously we didn't know she was an artist until that whole thing happened. But anyway, they need to do some more work. They can show us some more of these characters. Because we learned about the sniper a little more. You know, the bartender lady and her husband. We knew his situation. Anyway, CBS, it was a new one.
Okay, good. I'm going to check it out today.
Yeah, that's on my list of things. One more thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know. I got to find a way. I got to see Bel-Air.
Yeah, we in sync because that's exactly I just added it. I didn't send it to you. I didn't send those notes to you on it, but I just added it to my notes. I was just about to talk about that. The Bel-Air reboot has been very good.
Was just like, I saw the little pieces they've been putting on YouTube. I was like, I've been waiting for something good to be out. It ain't about some drug dealer. Obviously, that boy got that situation, but it's less about us selling drugs and stuff than that dynamic of him trying to grow up and all that.
Obviously the genre is different now. It's not a comedy. It's
right. More it's the drama.
Yes, and I like the way they have changed the characters. Like Jeffrey is not the goofy, you know, British butler. He actually is like he's almost like a hitman. and you know, he's Phil's right hand man. He's kind of out there taking care of him. Ashley, and this one made me think about it when I brought up the whole LGBTQ moment and the Equalizer. Ashley is having feelings for females, and she got a female friend of hers, and she. Yeah, so there's that, and then Carlton is on drugs, and
he's arrogant. He's not sheltered like that one that was in the old one.
This is definitely a new version.
What is Uncle Phil still a lawyer, or what does he do?
He is
cause they got bank. Cause he got money on top of money.
Yeah, he's doing. He's up for some office. This is bad of me because I should know this.
So is he gonna be? He's still a judge.
He's running. He's running for a political office.
Okay.
That has to do with.
Yeah. Did we see who's Will's mama?
Yes, we've seen her. And she looks fairly similar to the mother on the actual
on the first one
on the very first show. They did I think they did a good job of the guy that plays Will. He seems a lot like Will Smith.
He can't dress. But I don't know who is his designer.
But no,
Vivian Banks is
she is an artist. Remember on the show she was a dancer.
Right,
she is now, and she is a artist. And Michael Ealy looked like he gonna have a big part in this. He's like a big time art dealer, and he is kind of like having some feelings for.
All right, you better leave Vivian alone because I saw Philip and Jeffrey. Jeffrey, when I obviously I haven't seen the episode, but I saw the pieces of stuff, and Will was trying to jump the fence. Well, he didn't try. He jumped the fence trying to leave with Fresh. What's his name? He the Fresh Prince. What's Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. Yeah, Jazzy Jeff.
When Jeff pick him up.
Yeah, Jazzy Jeff is a taxi driver. That's an Uber driver.
Oh, I was about to say, Lord, Uber. That was funny. He came to get him in Jazz, they call him now. Uh-huh. Came to pick him up. I was like, he handed him that money. It's like, yeah, get out of the car. So what is Dwayne Martin? Have you seen him yet?
Yeah, he came in on the last episode. He is like Phil's campaign manager.
And then Carucci, Trans, her name Ivy. Carucci was a, who was she? She was dating somebody. If you saw
Chris her, Brown.
I'm probably jacking her name up. Sorry, Carucci. KK.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
What about Fred Wilks? Some dude named Joe Holtz. I'm just looking at the. What about Connor? This dude look like he might be in college. Connor Satterfield, white guy. Cause he looked like he did. Well, at least the only white guy on this list. They
show. Oh, he might be Carlton's friend that had a run-in with Will. They had a run-in at school when Will first started, and he been kind of trying to sabotage Will's existence ever since.
Great. So yeah, I'm looking forward to whenever I can get around to seeing it. What's How many episodes do they have out?
I think it's like 4. But what's interesting to me is the whole thing starts with him having a confrontation at the basketball court, like in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy is like a real killer, and like he's like out to get Will. Like they find out where he is in Bel Air, like mm-hmm. by the second episode. And the guy's coming to get him. Well, Jeffrey, Will talks to Jeffrey about it, and all of a sudden, the guy winds up dead.
That's why you called him a hitman.
Yeah. So where they gonna go with that? What's left of that storyline? I mean, obviously the friend, Ice Trey, or whatever they called him on the show. I think it's just named Trey on the show on the reboot. He comes out, but him and Will get into it, you know, over Will being that Bel Air bougie or whatever, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, wanting him to come back home. Will ain't trying to come back home. And they wind up having a falling out when he leaves. So I wonder if that's where the new part of this storyline is going to go, because Trey he didn't seem like he was too happy.
Well, some questions going to be asked about why this man dead.
Yeah, because he just showed up dead.
And some questions will be asked.
So yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Can't wait to see where it goes. We'll talk about it further, especially whenever you get a chance to check it out.
So that should be fun.
Winning Time: The Rise of the Laker Dynasty.
Oh Lord!
Started. The first episode came out last night. I haven't had a chance to watch it, but it's on HBO Max or HBO Max, whatever. Yeah, me and T and I are going to get together and have a watch party. And maybe we'll do a watch party for Bel Air, too, now that I'm thinking about it. We can do a watch party for Bel Air and get together and check out the Showtime Lakers, you know, since...
But Brandon right now, tried to convince me to at least watch the first one, because...
Well, right now, things ain't too well in Lakerland. I want to give you some good memories. A time when things were a little bit better.
The bad mouth from Magic ain't gonna make me feel better.
Well, it's based
even though I know Magic was out there because he talk about it.
For those who are interested, Adam McKay is directing. He's the one that's done a lot of Will Ferrell and them type movies. So it's gonna be his kind of humor. And it's based off the Jeff Pearlman book about the Showtime Lakers. So for anyone out there who either hasn't read or you know would like to read that book, that's what it's going to be based off of.
So
interested to
get I hope somebody can has been chronicling his last Coach K. Yeah.
Yes, because that would be an interesting documentary. Like hopefully the ACC Network has done their due diligence and will put something together for us.
Because he gave him plenty of time to find somebody.
But go Tar Heels.
I forgot you were a Tar Heel fan. Lord, y'all, Brian sent me a video of him. We was on Coach K court. It wasn't called that when we was there, but half court shot. Brian, when I was under the basket, when I saw the ball in the air, apparently I knew, because before it went in, I had started jumping up and down with one hand.
You could see it coming. You could see it coming. Nothing man. But net. Nothing.
And then the kids that jumped on you like this was like a real championship game.
That was 17 years ago.
Oh my God.
That is a long.
Speaking and then Coach Ross was looking like, man, we ain't gonna say why, because we all know, well, at least me and you know why she looked like that.
It's 17 years been by. And look, she ain't going back into coaching. We can spill it.
Well, I guess it didn't matter because we weren't players.
It was some money involved. It was some cash.
And we were not players, so we couldn't do that. That wasn't illegal.
$100. I made a good.
You made a couple hundred at least.
I made a good living off of Coach Ross back then.
That's hilarious.
But no. And this is another thing that I wanted to touch on before we get off. Shout out to Florida men's basketball and how they handled the Keontae Johnson situation. They allowed him.
Oh, let him do the jump ball.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a good way to end, you know, his senior year. Because bless his heart, the man was probably a lottery pick, you know, a couple of years back before he had his heart issue. But at least he was able to stay on scholarship.
Well, let's be clear. It wasn't a heart issue. Well, it was, but it was brought on by this virus. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, yeah.
I think that's important to add, though, because
in years to come,
when somebody listens to our podcast, I don't know who that'll be. But if they do.
Bless their heart.
Like, he didn't just have a bad heart, people. Like, he caught the virus early on, like in the early stages. Before we knew what it was. I don't think we even had the vaccine yet. Mm-mm. And so, yeah.
But, yeah, he was able to enjoy his senior night. Got to come in and do the jump ball and everything. Got the little honor. But the biggest part of this is Mike White and them allowed him to stay on scholarship. Enough to get his degree, and legally they don't.
They had no choice. Allegedly, you 4 years. Wink, wink. But they're really one.
They're one at a time. Yeah, right, one at a time.
1 year contract.
That's what you don't understand till you understand it. Till it happens to you.
So, two more things. Yeah. I know this is probably running way too long, but you can cut it if you need. Coach Billy, let's just put a pen in Coach Billy Napier so I can talk, because I need to talk extensively about what's going on with the Florida football team. Go ahead, write that down.
I'm on it.
Rest in peace, Bookman. Lord Bookman ain't gone on to glory.
What? I didn't see.
Yes, Bookman from Good Times done gone on to glory. His name is Johnny Brown. And they said, Johnny Brown, Good Times. I was like, good Johnny Brown on Good Times. So I clicked and I was like, oh, Bookman. And it's bad when we know your character name.
I had no idea he was.
And Johnny Brown did way more. Yeah, it was yesterday.
The only reason I know JJ is still alive because he does them AARP.
He doing all these. Yes! Not AARP. He be trying to get you to do the Medicare or Medicaid one.
Medicaid. I knew it was something. Yes. Yeah. That's how little I pay attention to it.
You need to call and see if you can get more benefit. Lord, I'm so tired of seeing him. Mm-hmm. And it was worse when they could actually sign up. Cause you know, I don't have cable. And every commercial was him or the other guy that was doing it. But Bookman going on to glory. He'll be an ancestor.
Bookman.
Yes, 84 years of existence on Earth. I didn't see what they said he died of or nothing, but yeah. Nathan Bookman. His name is Johnny Brown. I'm sorry. Because that's the government name.
Well, it's about time for me to roll off of here and drink my first shake. Oh,
I'm glad you said that.
I messed around and let T talk me into doing. And it's honestly the diet. This little deal you got us on for the next 2 weeks. This is a perfect time because I'm gonna be distracted by basketball for the next couple of weeks anyway. It's a perfect time for me to do something like this because I won't be thinking about eating anyway. So
yeah, we'll talk about this off air. Go ahead, we're gonna close it.
Yeah, let me go ahead and close it out so I can get to my shake because I'm hungry.
Shake, 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 shake.
But yeah, as always, I am your host, Brian McKay. And oh Lord, let me run
what
it
is
back.
Happening?
I apologize.
Yeah.
As always, I am one of your hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. God is good, Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.